This hour of the Jason Rant Show brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
So lots of moving parts to the news today, all related to COVID. And we're going to do our best to cover everything in a way that is sensitive to the bad faith arguments being made by Democrats. And I want to be sensitive to it because I don't want to just call them out and say that they don't know what it is they're doing and they are purposefully doing some of these things that they don't know what they're doing. I want to be positive. I want to be open. We just found out it's actually happening right now. I'm choosing not to carry the Jay Inslee press conference live. Unless some of you want me to, I suppose you can text us at 1-800-465-8770 if you are just dying to hear our governor drone on and on and on about things he doesn't quite understand. I would argue there's something potentially wrong with you if that's what you're looking for, but I'm no judgments. I said I was going into the new year without the judgments. So Inslee is currently announcing that he is, number one, deploying the National Guard to hospitals across the state. And number two, he is banning non-emergency procedures. Also, it could free up medical staff. Now, it's weird that he would have to ban non-emergency procedures from happening because it feels like the hospital itself, the administrators themselves, could make that determination on their own. And my presumption is if the hospital in question, because not all hospitals are being overrun, but if the hospital can't actually do the surgery, they will say, oh, we're going to have to postpone this. And you're sending the National Guard to help free up some staff members. It kind of feels like it's not really all that necessary. But he's only sending 100 National Guard, which kind of tells you the scope of the issues. Now, the Washington State Hospital Association said that they are in a crisis. And we're going to get to that crisis and how it is unfolding at the bottom of this hour. But understand that a huge number, and I mean a huge number, of the people who are in hospitals right now taking up beds are not there because of COVID. Some of them have COVID, no doubt. They're incidental cases. The exact number we don't have, but we know that it is a considerable number because we know that, for example, just with the multi-care hospitals, which have eight hospitals across the state, they have 202 beds occupied by people who don't even need to be there, who aren't sick. But because of the staffing crisis that Jay Inslee created due to his vaccine mandate, they're not able to send these patients to long-term care facilities where they should be. But we're not supposed to talk about that. We're supposed to pretend that everybody who is in the hospital right now is due to COVID. Everyone, all of them. Okay, not everyone. There's a couple people there who should be there. Their appendix burst and they're dealing with, yeah, but that's only like two or three. Everyone else, it's Omicron. That's what they want us to believe. Now, while that's happening, we had some significant news coming down from the Supreme Court. It happened just the way we thought it would. The Supreme Court overwhelmingly rejected the federal vaccine mandate. Overwhelming. Saying, no, OSHA is not able to enforce this unconstitutional vaccine mandate. Now, of course, the Supreme Court is talking about specifically the part, because we said OSHA, the part having to do with the businesses that have at least 100 employees. They're supposed to require you to either get vaccinated or get tested every single week. On top of that, you have to wear a mask. So the court said OSHA doesn't have the authority to do that. They have no authority to do that. If you want this to get done, do it in Congress. And they certainly acknowledge that COVID is a risk, but it's not an occupational hazard in most workplaces. That's what they said. They wrote, COVID-19 can and does spread at home and schools during sporting events and everywhere else that people gather. That kind of universal risk is no different from the day-to-day dangers that we all face from crime, air pollution, or any number of communicable diseases. And as a result of that, They argued that giving OSHA this kind of power would significantly expand, their words, their authorities beyond the limits that have been set by Congress. Now, on the other hand, the Biden administration can move forward with the specific ruling that healthcare members, people who are working in the healthcare industry, have to get vaccinated. At least the hospitals or the facilities that are getting federal funds. And it was the federal funds that connected these hospitals to this mandate versus the private businesses. That was the big reason behind that. And that was a 5-4 ruling with 2 1.5 conservatives, I guess, ruling on the side of the Biden administration. Brett Kavanaugh sided there with the Biden administration along with John Roberts. Now, the other one was 6-3. So all of the conservatives voted to knock down the vaccine mandate on private businesses. Now, we knew that this was going to happen. We knew that this was the likely outcome. And it makes sense. It makes sense from a legal standpoint. Do I think that hospitals should be forcing their employees to get vaccinated? No, I think we should allow healthcare providers to make their own decisions, the same way I say that of you, those of you who don't work in healthcare. It seems very clear to me that of all the people who can definitely make an informed decision for their own health are the ones who literally work in that industry, the ones who are giving the vaccines to people. And I know that whole conversation makes some folks on the left uncomfortable. They don't like to talk about the fact that there are healthcare providers, healthcare workers, who are choosing not to get the vaccine. They think that very fact might end up pushing people away from the vaccinations. I don't believe that. I got vaccinated knowing that not all healthcare providers want to. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine should be considered for everybody in consultation with their doctors if they want it. I'm pro-vaccine. I'm anti-mandate. That's not a controversial position to take unless you want total control over absolutely everyone. Then it is, in fact, very controversial. Now, the other thing that happened earlier today was President Biden came out and he...
Here's your Olympic Wealth Management Minute with Eric Cumley.
Let's pop that all the way down. There we go. Having a little bit of a technical issue. The other thing that happened was President Biden came out here with an announcement that he's taking control yet again of the COVID strategy. One that doesn't necessarily make any sense. One that isn't actually going to work. And we're going to have that conversation. We're going to tell you what the president insisted was the best path forward in tackling COVID, although I don't think he's going to tackle it for... I think he's acknowledged now that it's not game over for COVID and it never will be, even though, before he said he would do it. We'll tell you what his plan is when we come back. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So President Joe Biden earlier today announced that his administration, this administration, is going to pass out for free to all Americans high-quality masks. How that's going to happen, not entirely sure. Not going to hold my breath on that one. And he's going to double the at-home tests that will be made available. So they previously said they were going to do 500 million, but now they're going to do 1 billion. Why they didn't go with 1 billion the first time around, don't know. Will this matter? Not at all. And he started his announcement this morning, started it off strong.
Now, I don't like to... the next steps we're taking against. I'd like to outline the next steps we're taking against over on the Omicron variant.
What? Huh? I don't like to outline. I will outline the what am I here for? Omicron. That's how we started. Yeah, this plan is going to work out really, really well. Those masks and tests, they're on the way. They're definitely not going to get lost in transit. But apparently, maybe we don't even need any tests. We have Google. We have Google at our disposal.
I've been saying that as we remain in this pandemic. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Oh, okay.
And I mean by this, right now, both vaccinated and unvaccinated people are testing positive.
Yeah.
But what happens after that could not be more different.
Oh, so he's changing. Okay, never mind, because I was just going to Google COVID and data, and it was going to tell me the truth about what. Oh, no, okay, sorry, that's my bad. He's now changing his slightly, at least, his talking point about the fact that this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. What I mean by that is this.
If vaccinated people test positive, they overwhelmingly have either no symptoms at all or they have mild symptoms. And if you're unvaccinated, if they test positive, you are 17 times more likely to get hospitalized. As a result, they're crowding our hospitals, leaving little room for anyone else who might have a heart attack or an injury in an automobile accident.
He's not being honest. He's not being honest here. He's misusing the term crowded. Although, again, maybe this is yet another one of those words that the left is redefining. There certainly are people with COVID in the hospital. That is true. It turns out then when you're in the middle of a pandemic, people end up going to a hospital. I know this is a very crazy concept. I know it seems as if they haven't actually planned. All this time, they haven't planned. These hospitals aren't planning. The federal government isn't planning. States, blue states, aren't planning for the fact that when you're in the middle of a pandemic still, where you should expect that a different variant is going to come along that might land people in the hospital, they have done no planning whatsoever. Nothing. Not even a little bit. They were caught off guard. How is that possible? And when they started this new talking point along the lines of Omicron just a couple weeks ago, 2.5, 3 weeks ago, I went online. I saw the data coming from the hospitalizations here in Washington State, and it was something like 20 to 22% of the beds were filled with COVID patients. Not all, by the way, necessarily due to COVID, but some of the incidental cases. And the more you took a look at the data, the number of incidental cases were way higher than they should be if you're going to tell me that there are a bunch of people with COVID in the hospital clogging up the system. We expect that during a pandemic, people are going to go to the hospital. What have you done to prepare? Oh, I know what you did. You passed a whole bunch of vaccine mandates all across the country that ended up firing staff who could have come in hand right now. Could have helped. Oh, but you don't want help from the dirty, from the unvaccinated. You don't need their help. It's all good. You got it under control. Right. Right. This is absurd. And when he makes claims like that, or at least doesn't talk about what's going on more honestly, because again, I'm not saying there aren't people in the hospital with COVID. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't even believe that hospitals aren't full. Some of them very clearly are. But the fact of the matter is, there's context. There's more information that he's leaving out. And again, he's doing it. And other Democrats are doing this because they want to try again to coerce you into getting a vaccine that does not protect you from contracting or spreading COVID. Does it appear to make it or make you more protected from getting seriously ill? Yeah. But again, remember, Omicron specifically is already mild. Remember that the death rate of COVID is under 1%, even though Biden and others treat it as if it's over 1%. It's not. And while doing all of this, while being misleading, he has the audacity to say this.
Unfortunately, while our military is stepping up, as they always do, there are others sitting on the sidelines, and we're standing in the way. If you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Personal choice impacts us all, our hospitals, our countries. I make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop. COVID-19 is one of the most formidable enemies America's ever faced. We've got to work together, not against each other.
Okay, so something with the death rate of under 1% is the most formidable threat that we face ever in our history. Okay, I hope that's not the case, because then there's going to be some serious threats out there that we all know exist, but it's going to be something a little bit more serious, and Biden isn't going to be able to handle it. He's going to choke under pressure, which is what he's doing right now. He has no idea what it is he's doing. He has no clue whatsoever. And understand that we're going to continue to get different variants. We're going to continue to have to deal with COVID forever. Viruses don't go away. They don't go away. They're never fully eradicated. The closest we've come is something like smallpox, for example. Technically, it still exists, but it's not an issue. But other than that, you think a virus like COVID is going? It's not. And so what exactly is the plan here moving forward, to constantly be in this back and forth, this surge, and then goes away? Then we panic again when the surge comes, and then it goes away. And we panic again and again. This is why his polling is so poor when it comes to handling COVID. Now, something that should be shocking people, at least in the sense of how ironic it is that there are hospitals right now in Washington state that are using symptomatic COVID-positive healthcare workers to treat patients while they just got done firing unvaccinated COVID-negative staff members. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We are live on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. You can send me a text at 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770. I want to talk to you about a story I broke last night. I kind of gave you a little bit of a hint yesterday. And of course, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, you would have seen this last night. MultiCare Health Systems is ordering symptomatic COVID-positive staff to work at its hospitals, to work at its clinics. And when they got called out on it, they refused to comment. They're talking now because the story is out there and gaining traction. And people are looking at this and saying, well, that doesn't make sense. Didn't y'all just fire a whole bunch of people for being unvaccinated with the promise that you would be cutting out the spread of COVID, and now you're bringing in people who aren't just COVID positive, but literally showing symptoms? That doesn't make sense. I got a hold of an internal memo, and it was dated on January 6th. So this was last week. And it said that their hospitals had moved into what they considered to be crisis levels of staffing, meaning they just don't have enough staff to handle the amount of people who are coming in. Obviously, we are seeing a rise in hospital visits. It's being blamed on COVID. It's not on COVID's. It's not all COVID's fault. We know that is a matter of fact. And so they modified their return to work process, which ordered staff to work even if they're experiencing symptoms. Although the symptoms have to be improving for them to give the thumbs up to allow people to come back into the office. And yet one source from MultiCare, a staff member there, said that unless the person has a fever, quote, they want us coming in. Oh, and by the way, the COVID-positive staffers who are currently experiencing symptoms, they're not required to disclose their status to the patients that they're working on or their coworkers. I find that to be disturbing. Depending on where you live, you have to show your vaccine passport or a negative test just to go into a business, just to see a movie. And yet someone in a hospital setting, meaning generally speaking, you're there because you're sick, the person who has COVID and is symptomatic doesn't have to tell you. That's alarming. That's truly alarming. So they ended up pushing this into place. And along with this memo came this document, this chart, explaining who could come in, when, why. And I put it up at ktth.com if you want to check it out. In fact, if you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, you'll get a direct link so you can check it out. The chart is called Management of COVID-Exposed and COVID-Positive Staff During Crisis Staffing Level. And it says, if you test positive for COVID, regardless of your vaccination status, you can, in fact, return to work and treat patients. And according to this chart, it says, positive staff with mild to moderate illness may work so long as they wear appropriate PPE, which, by the way, doesn't include fitted N95 masks, or it does include it, but it doesn't mandate it, N95 masks. They just can't take breaks with other people. And they have to agree to stay home if the symptoms that they're experiencing worsen. Now, according to this chart, it says, if working with patients, do not assign to care for immunocompromised. They're talking to the managers of these COVID-positive staff. Prioritize patient assignments in this order as possible. COVID-positive / COVID rule-out patients, vaccinated patients, all other patients. Managers may choose to make other exceptions based on patient risk and staff availability. That's weird. Patient risk. I'm told that anyone who gets Omicron could die. They're just going to drop dead the second that they get the sniffle, especially if they're unvaccinated. Oh, you mean there is some context to how much COVID could impact someone? See, you can acknowledge that without saying that COVID doesn't exist or COVID isn't even serious. It can be very serious. It also might not be serious. In fact, we know the vast majority of people who catch Omicron, they're not serious cases. The vast majority. Are there serious cases? Yes. Do they happen to be hitting folks who are unvaccinated harder than someone who's vaccinated? That's what the data appears to suggest. Do I trust all the data? No. Do I trust every single piece of data that comes across my plate? No, on either side of the issue. COVID, I hope, has caused you to rethink the data that you automatically assume is true on both sides of the arguments. Like the folks who tell you the second you take the vaccine, you're going to get a blood clot. No, you're not. That the second a teenager takes the COVID vaccine, their heart stops. Nope, doesn't happen. Doesn't happen all that often, does it? Yes, it's rare. It happens, and we should be aware of it. We should be talking about it. But some folks overstate the threat of the vaccine the same way some folks overstate the threat of COVID. We can have honest conversations about this. Ideologues can't. We can, you and I. And so I originally reached out to MultiCare once I got this memo. I sent them the first email, I want to say it was 8:18 in the morning yesterday. And I wanted to be fair. I wanted to give them time to answer some of the questions I had. I asked them, I believe, to get back to me by 2:30. They ignored the email. They ignored the phone call. Not even a response saying, hey, working on it. We'll get back to you as best as we can. I think we ended up getting an email right before the deadline saying, look, we can't get the answers you need by your deadline. You know what? Okay. I am willing to wait a little bit longer before I do a story because I do want to be fair. It's not a gotcha moment. I honestly want to know some of the answers. So I gave them until 5:30. 9 hours went by for them to send me an email. I was kind of curt, telling me we won't be able to meet your deadline. That's it. Not, we'll continue to try to gather some information. I understand if you want to publish and then broadcast. We're doing our best. No appeal whatsoever. Just we're not going to be able to meet your deadline. Okay. So we print. Now, to be clear, the CDC does allow for this in certain circumstances. Staffing crises. Except, of course, they didn't explain what the staffing crisis was. Now, since we went live with this information, and by the way, I'll be on Fox News later tonight at 9:40 talking about this. Since we hit the publish button, since it started to get picked up, they started to answer some questions. And I appreciate the fact that they're answering questions. They're saying, bottom line, first and foremost, I should say, we are not just saying anyone can come in. We care deeply about our staff and our patients. We have some standards when it comes to just not letting everybody in who's very clearly sick. Except the source, who works for MultiCare, said, quote, you could be dizzy, coughing, whatever. Any other symptom aside from a fever, they want us coming in. That's what the source told our sister station, Chiral Radio. Now, obviously, for me to get this memo, it indicates that staff members there are concerned about the safety implications, the public health implications here. MultiCare acknowledged that the memo is legit, but that, quote, we have implemented rigorous protocols to enable us to treat all patients safely. But you did, in fact, confirm that, no, we don't have to disclose this to patients. And no, we don't test staffers unless they're symptomatic. Which is odd because I'm told for schools to stay open, we have to test the kids who are the least likely to be impacted by COVID. We have to test them frequently, even when they're not showing any symptoms at all. I found out that they fired 55 staff members at their hospitals and urgent care facilities because they weren't either submitting their vaccination paperwork or they were choosing not to get a vaccination. Something tells me that a staffing crisis could be helped if you had 55 more staff members at your disposal. I could be wrong. I don't work in healthcare, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say when you don't have enough staff to handle the incoming patients, 55 extra staff members right now would be helpful, especially since you're having to tell people who are symptomatic and COVID positive to come back into the hospitals. I found out that there are over 200 people, 202 to be exact, at least as of a couple hours ago, 202 patients who don't actually need to be in beds. But they're in beds right now because they don't have space to go to a elder care facility, a long-term care facility, because they're having a staffing crisis. Nurses are out. Some of them fired for not getting the COVID vaccine or turning in their paperwork. Others choosing to be traveling nurses because the money there is better. So at least in part, we can look at this staffing crisis and say, Jay Inslee created this. It's his mandate. Would the hospitals have done this without the mandate? Probably. They end up getting forced if they accept federal funding because of the Biden mandate. But I do think that they probably would have done this anyway. Or at least allowed for the option of testing, which is not allowed under the governor's mandate. Now, to be clear, there are hospitals within the MultiCare universe that are at 100% capacity. But again, it's not necessarily due to COVID. You could make an indirect connection, right? You can say, well, you know, if COVID didn't exist, there wouldn't be any COVID patients. Yeah, yeah, no, I got that. I can, you know, if heart disease didn't exist, we also wouldn't have any patients dealing with heart disease in hospitals. So it is a disingenuous argument to make. Cancer didn't exist. You wouldn't have to worry about that either. Yes, I get that. But you do know that we're in the middle of a pandemic. And the question still is, well, what have you been doing to prepare for an influx of cases? You expected an influx of cases. So your way to prepare was to fire a bunch of people who didn't get vaccinated, all so that you can force now COVID positive symptomatic staff to work. Tell me why that's safe, but it's not safe to have an unvaccinated person who's COVID negative working. Tell me the difference there. I would love to know. We were told that the reason why they did this was to protect folks from getting COVID. Okay. But you're telling me that a N95 mask that's not even properly fitted, that a COVID positive symptomatic staff member is wearing, that is protective. But it's not protective when it's on someone who doesn't have a vaccine. Explain that. They won't. They'll never do any interviews. They'll never talk to us. They'll never talk to anybody who asks that question. And God knows, that the press pool in Olympia, they're not going to push for that because they like these ideas. They like these mandates. That's their bias. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. We still got a lot more to get to. That's not COVID-related. We'll continue that conversation a little bit later on in the show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I had a fun moment on Twitter earlier this morning, and I kind of found out about it by accident. I saw a tweet from Ted Lieu, and it wasn't just a tweet. It was a tweet with a video attached to it. Now, Congressman Ted Lieu is a Twitter troll who moonlights as a congressman from Southern California, Democrat. And he was a part of an event that happened yesterday. I believe it happened yesterday morning. An event with the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg. It was by a port. And Ted Lieu starts to talk and he offers the weirdest brag I've ever heard come out of a dum-dum congressman's mouth.
Remember under the former administration when we had bare shelves? Remember under the former administration when we ran out of toilet paper?
Okay.
That didn't happen under the Biden administration.
Really?
And that's in part due to the great work of the Secretary and the Department of Transportation.
Oh, my God. So his tweet included that transcribed, at least the latter half transcribed. There is literally a trending topic titled Biden Bare Shelves. It trended for 2 days. Ted Lieu lives on Twitter. He didn't see that. It was trending while he was speaking. It trended the day before he gave that speech. Our shelves are bare. They are bare. Not because of irrational panic buying all happening at once, which is why we had the run on toilet paper at the beginning of the pandemic that no one saw coming except for the Chinese government. But if you say that, apparently you're a bigot or something, I don't know. We're having it right now happen, right this moment. Because of the incompetence of the Biden administration, the supply chain crisis that he said was fixed. The vaccine mandates that push people out of jobs. A high inflation rate making products more expensive, so less are ordered. Now, he posted his tweet and that video yesterday, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I saw it this morning, early this morning, something like 6, 7 o'clock. I retweeted his video. I pointed out that this was the hack job of a partisan. A really, really silly and false tweet. You remember that last administration with the bare shelves? I remember this one because it's happening right now. And after I retweeted it, within 30 minutes, he deleted it. He deleted a tweet that had been up since yesterday at 2 o'clock. Now, part of the reason why he deleted it was because I have a blue check mark. And for those of you who are on Twitter, you don't realize this, but blue check mark accounts have a way to just look at other blue check marks and how they respond to your tweets. And so it pops out a little bit more. He saw my response and he deleted the tweet. Thank God Twitter on the app caches all of this stuff. Because I immediately then screen grabbed the video, screenshot the tweet, and then put it up just to tick him off. Because Ted Lieu, while he loves to bully people on Twitter, he hates it when it happens to him. He hates it. And he can't block anyone because he did it from his official congressional account. And so by law, he can't block it. This is someone who gets away with it, but he wants to get away with it, but we're not going to let him. You're going to help me amplify this. If you just go to my Twitter feed, twitter.com/JasonRants, or text the keyword rants, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-877. You'll find the tweet. Just hit the retweet button, hit the like button. Let's kind of get under his skin. The reason why it's important to call this stuff out is they continue on the left to gaslight everybody. That is right now the theme of the Democratic Party. We are going to gaslight you. There's no crisis at the border. What are you talking about? What do you mean? What am I talking about? Look at the video. Look at the reports that are coming in of how many people are cited coming into this country illegally. Inflation? What inflation? It's not happening. Okay, maybe it's happening a little bit, but it's transitory. Don't worry. Really? We just hit the highest inflation rate that we've hit year over year since I was born in 1982. I'm 28 years old, though. Don't do the math. Crime? There's no crime surge. Crime is actually going down if you look at it. Which crime category? Because murders are up. You saw record increases of crime in Democrat-run cities. When you look at the top 10 list, actually, when you look at the top 15 list, there's only one Republican city there. They're all the other ones are all Democrats that hit homicide records. Huh. It's weird you keep telling me things aren't happening when they are happening. And so now I guess the latest one is there's no bare shelves. I guess all those photos that people are posting under hashtag bare shelves Biden, all of those must be photoshopped or really, really old. It's a big conspiracy, probably coming from the Russians in their troll farm somewhere. Yeah, we got it. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text.